So there's definitely a heaviness this morning for our church body. And I don't feel that what I was to share is what God wants me to share. Turn your Bibles to Romans. Romans 12. You might feel, and I definitely feel it as well, that with some of the things that were shared this morning, it's really heavy, and it's tough. And you think, man, our society says today, if something's uncomfortable, if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't feel natural, it's wrong. You have to go what feels natural. You have to go what makes you feel relaxed. But I believe that God orchestrated it just with the members class discussing what membership is. I think this morning we are feeling what church life is. It's not always light and happy. Two weeks ago, we weren't here at church. My wife and I stayed home because we found out, we knew that Carrie was pregnant, and that morning, the baby was born too soon. And we took time to process that and to take it to God, and Jesus really ministered to us. We felt that he was there. There were just some very clear ways that God reached out to us and let us know that he's right there. He's right there. And in all that, there were a few people that Carrie reached out to and let them know. There's a few people that I reached out to and let them know. And there were people that brought meals, sent texts of encouragement, pointing us back to the one where we can find rest. And that's what church life is. It's pointing each other to God and being Jesus in skin. When Carrie's brother, Wendell, he came that morning, picked up the boys and brought them to church, and he gave me a big hug, and it just felt like Jesus was giving me a hug. And that's what I needed. I needed that. And that's what we're called to do for each other. To care for each other. To walk with each other through the times of hurt and pain. Through times of heaviness. And that's where we read about this what church life looks like in Romans 12, starting at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I just want to stop there and just once again echo what James said about the need to continue steadfastly in prayer. Prayer is where you take your pain to God. Prayer is where you allow God, not only do you speak to God, but more importantly, you let God speak to you. You allow Him to be that healer that you need. You use prayer to take your burdens to the cross. And it's there that your burdens are dealt with. You can leave them there. That doesn't always mean that the pain just immediately leaves. But it does mean that you have hope for one day where there is no pain. And you're taking your pain to the one person that can deal with any wound. There is no wound too deep for Him to heal. There is no situation that's beyond His control. He is all-powerful. And He is faithful. Faithful, not necessarily to change the situation to be exactly how you want it, but He is faithful to complete the work in you. So we must continue steadfastly in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints. There, I think it's distributing needs. How are you going to know what the needs are of the people around you if you don't know them? If you're not committed to them? We need to be committed to each other and pay attention to what's going on in each other's lives. If you only know what's going on in your life, there's a good chance, well, no, there is no chance that you will be aware of other people's needs. Now, I want to be very clear. If you're going through something that's tough, so tough that you're not aware of other people's needs, that is a very clear time that you need to reach out to the body and make the body aware so that you can be restored, you can be cared to health, so that then you can be used by God to then minister to the needs of the rest of the body. And it's also important for those of you who are in a healthy state where you feel like, man, things are just clicking. I sense God's presence. I know where He wants me to go, and things are just lining up. This command that we be sensitive to the needs of the saints, it's important that we heed that, those of us who feel like everything's going smoothly, because one day it'll be you who has the need. It'll be you that needs ministered to. We all need each other. We each have been specifically planted in this body to give gifts, to use gifts that the rest of the body needs. So we are sensitive to the needs of one another. Given to hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You know, it could be that this passage was being used to talk about bless those who are outside of the church, who you have been hurt by. But Paul doesn't specifically say that you only bless those outside of the church. He says, bless all those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. He doesn't make a distinction that, hey, if it's someone in the body that has hurt you, you don't bless them. Only outside of the body, if they hurt you, you bless them. He doesn't make that distinction. This is not to say that it's okay to persecute one another at all. I want to be very clear. But Jesus did say, he taught, you turn the other cheek. You go the second mile. And that especially goes, we tend first to the needs of the household of God. That especially goes, turning the other cheek, practicing patience, most definitely applies to relationships within the body. If somebody does something within the body that hurts you, it's understandable that you're hurt. In fact, even more so because you didn't expect that hurt. But that still does not give you the excuse to curse that person. We are called to forgive one another. Anyone can be friends with someone, love someone that hasn't hurt them. Real love gets put into practice when you choose to love a person that has hurt you. That's loving without hypocrisy. Hypocritical love breaks down when it's time to love someone that has hurt you. Continuing on to verse 15. And this is where you really see body life come into play. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. You know, there's when someone loses a loved one, you go to a funeral and you think, what could I say to this person? What could I do to make this person feel better? Maybe there's this specific passage that I could say. Maybe there's a specific quote that I read somewhere that just takes the pain away. Grief doesn't work like that. And people don't want to hear what the perfect words. What they want to feel is that you care. And this is what Paul is saying. When you weep with someone, that means you're sharing in their grief, and maybe you don't know the depths of their grief, but you're acknowledging that their hurt and their grief is real. And they see it on your face. You are physically expressing the care that you have for that person. That's what ministers to someone who is grieving. And that tells me that church life for the early church wasn't always happy feelings, easy times, smooth sailing. Hey, he just ascended, you know, just recently. We're good from here. It wasn't all just roses and sunshine. It was real life. There were people back then that also had miscarriages. There were people back then that also lost loved ones. There were people back then that were being persecuted by people outside of the church. There were people back then that were causing strife within the church. All of these things are a part of church life. This is reality. And while it's hard, it's heavy, it's how it is in our fallen world. But we look forward to a time when there won't be anything persecuting the church. There won't be any heaviness. We won't say goodbyes. It will be continuous, eternal rejoicing. So until that happens, I'm going to change over to Ephesians chapter 3. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is what we are each individually called to, every one of us. This kind of walk, where we practice humility and gentleness with one another, we tough it out with one another. Through the thick and the thin, because we have been planted together as a body. Unity doesn't happen by accident. Like I said, it's easy to love someone who has never hurt you. It's easy to love someone who you've only had good interactions with. Unity actually gets established when you get through something together, when you get through something hard together. You know, as I think back to that miscarriage, that was some of the deepest, closest dialogue and connecting that me and my wife have done in a long time. And so that hardship, going through hardship, wrestling through things together, choosing to stick it out, even though it doesn't feel natural, it doesn't feel good, it's not pleasant, is where relationships go deep. That's where substance happens. That's where real church life happens. And we need to endeavor to keep that substance, that unity, together. And it can only be done by you being willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's unity in the Spirit. It's the unity that only the Holy Spirit can bring. And so we need to submit to the Spirit, and the Spirit will call you to submit to the body. And you can't do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. It is only by the power of the Spirit that you can submit to the Father's will. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And he is building his church. Even this morning, in spite of the heaviness, through the heaviness, Jesus is building his church. And we can take rest in that Jesus is the head. He is in control. We can have peace that, you know what? I'm not in control, but Lord, I'm going to submit to what you've asked me to do. I'm going to love who you have called me to love. And in that, Jesus is building his church. He's bringing his kingdom in you. And as he brings his kingdom to individuals, those individuals then build up his church. And it's a part of his manifold wisdom. So I would just call us all to, first of all, submit yourself to Jesus. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to love today? And there's a good chance the person that you don't want to love is the one person that comes to your mind. I don't want to love that person. That's who God wants you to love. So love that person. Serve that person. Go the second mile. Bless that person. That's the first thing that I would call all of us to do. And the second thing . Have hope. Have hope. Take heart. Verse 4 of Ephesians 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope. Have hope. Hope is not just this thing of hopefully it doesn't rain. Hope is knowing that the person who's in control of the rain is going to make it rain. That's the kind of hope that we're talking about here. Jesus has said he is going to build his church. He's also said that he's coming back. And so this hope isn't, well, there's a 30% chance that Jesus is coming back. There's a 60% chance that there is a life beyond this life. There's a 100% chance that Jesus is preparing a place where there is no sorrow, no pain, and he's going to come back. There's a 100% chance that he's coming back for his bride. And I want to be a part of it. And the only way I can be a part of it is being a part of his body, submitting to it, building it up, using my gift, weeping with those who weep, caring for those who are mourning, and loving those who hurt me and I don't want to love. Let's pray, and then, Jake, I'll let you close. Heavenly Father, we just come to you and Lord, you know the pain of the people in this body. There is no hurt that you're not aware of. There is no dilemma. There is no situation. There is nothing that you don't know. And so, Lord, I pray that you would meet each and every one of us where we're at. Lord, minister to our hurts so that we can be used by you to minister to the hurts of others. Lord, you do the healing. You receive the glory. It's all about you. And Lord, we want to submit to that. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.